Well, amen. I invite this time the children are excused for children's worship. And I'd like to invite you to take your Bibles and find with me Luke chapter 4, the Gospel of Luke, the fourth chapter. We are in the middle of a series of messages on the Gospel of Luke. And this morning we are focusing our attention on a familiar passage. Familiar for many reasons. I'm sure that many of you have studied this passage of Scripture. If you have been brought up in church and have attended Sunday school, this is a passage that you probably have heard before. And it's familiar because it shows us and it teaches us a lot about Jesus, and it also teaches us a lot about sin and how we can overcome the temptations that seem to be all around us. Temptation is the enticement to sin. And I think it's something that all of us this morning deal with, whether we are 10 years old or 70 years old or 80 years old. Something that we all deal with is temptation. I heard about a little boy whose mom said to him, "You are not to go swimming in the swimming hole today." And she said, "I have plans for you tonight, and I don't want you to go swimming." Well, later on, she was walking by the swimming hole, and she saw her son. Guess what he was doing? Swimming. And so she hollered at him. She said, "Get out." She said, "Son, didn't I tell you not to go swimming?" And he said, "Mama, I didn't intend to go swimming, but the devil tempted me and caused me to go swimming." She looked at him very sincerely and she said, "Then why are you wearing a bathing suit?" He said, "Oh, I brought that along just in case I got tempted." And temptations are everywhere. And we need to be aware of temptations this morning. There's a wonderful verse in the Bible that says, "There has no temptation taken you, but as is common to man." So it's a reminder that all of us in this room at one time or another have been or are being tempted. And this passage of Scripture, Jesus shows us some ways that we can overcome the temptations that we face. So if you have a copy of God's Word, would you follow along with me as we read together Luke chapter 4 and verses 1 through 13. "And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, and for 40 days being tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing during those days. When they were ended, he was hungry. The devil said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, command that this stone become bread.' Jesus answered him and said, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone.' The devil took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment and said to him, 'To you I will give all this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I give it to whom I will. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours.' And Jesus answered him and said, 'It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve.' So he took him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against the stone.' And Jesus answered him and said, 'You shall not put the Lord your God to the test.' When the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time." Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you so much for the time that we've had this morning to sing your praises. Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity that we have now to read your word. And Father, we pray that we would be able to understand your word clearly today. And God, we pray that every person that's here that's dealing with temptation, God, would be able to gain some new truths that they can apply in their lives. God, we need to hear from you this morning. We pray that your spirit would have freedom to work in each of our hearts. For it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. If you'll notice in this passage of Scripture, Jesus, the Bible says, is full of the Holy Spirit. The passage begins in chapter 4, verse 1. He says, Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit. He was returning from Jordan. And Jordan is where Jesus had been baptized. After he'd been baptized, the Holy Spirit came and descended on him. And the Bible says that he was full of the Holy Spirit, and then he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And so we see the Spirit of God is in every part of this situation. The Spirit of God is working, and Jesus' submission to the Holy Spirit caused him to do always what the Father's will was. His temptation did not result from his making wrong choices that left him in a vulnerable situation. It did not result from him straying from God's will. On the contrary, it was the will of God to lead him into the wilderness. It was the will of God for him to face Satan. It was the will of God for him to defeat Satan so that he could show us how it's done. What is temptation? A very simple word for temptation is enticement. Temptation is an enticement. Temptation is an enticement that leads to sin. It is a suggestion to sin. We need to keep in mind that Jesus Christ never sinned. He is the perfect, holy Son of God. There has never been any sin in the person of Jesus Christ. However, in this passage of Scripture, we see that that Satan himself came and tempted Jesus. I believe that we face temptations all the time. We encounter temptations all the time. We face temptations from Satan. We face temptations from the world. And we face temptations from the flesh. That's a good series of sermons right there. The Satan, the world, and the flesh. But this morning, we're going to focus in on Satan. We're going to focus in on how Satan comes and whispers or sometimes screams things into our ears to try to entice us, to try to tempt us to go down a certain path. And everyone here has a choice. Everyone here has a choice to decide this morning or decide tomorrow or next week, how am I going to respond? When that temptation comes, whether it's a temptation to lust, whether it's a temptation for greed, whether it's a temptation to whatever it is, whatever that temptation is, we have a choice to make on how we are going to respond. And I want you to see how Jesus responded to the three temptations that Satan throws his way. And so this morning we're going to look at some of the strategies that Satan uses, three of them, and then we're going to look at some general observations that I believe that you can take home and that you can apply to your individual personal situations. First of all, let's talk about the strategies. The first strategy is this. Satan comes along and says, you have physical needs, satisfy them the way that I suggest. Okay, you have physical needs, satisfy them the way that I suggest. The first temptation was for Jesus to turn stones into bread. Now, I've never seen that happen before. I've seen a few breads that turned into stones, but I've never seen stones turned into bread. But Jesus, being the Almighty God that He is, could have done that. In fact, as He is out there in the desert, I imagine that there were stones all over the place. And listen, Jesus Christ had the power. He has the power. He could have turned every stone that was in that wilderness they could have had bread for the last four centuries. He could have done that. But He chose not to. You see, this temptation has to do with physical needs. You'll see there in this passage of Scripture that Jesus had been in the desert or in the wilderness for 40 days. He was on a 40-day fast. All right, he was on a 40-day fast. That means that for 40 days he did not eat anything. And I don't know about you, but if you go a day or two without food, you get pretty hungry, don't you? I mean, your body becomes weak and you become hungry. You become physically needing something. Imagine going 40 days without anything to eat. Imagine going 40 days without anything to, any sustenance at all to take care of your physical needs. That's the situation that Jesus found himself in. He had not eaten anything for 40 days, and Satan comes along to him and says to him, if you are the Son of God, or some translations say, since you are the Son of God, since you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. Now, Jesus immediately refutes Satan. And how does he refute Satan? He does it by quoting Scripture. He does it by quoting Scripture. We're going to see that a pattern that takes place here throughout this entire passage. Every time Satan comes to him and tempts him, his response is immediately to take him back to a passage of Scripture. In this case, he goes back to Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, the Bible says, man does not live by bread alone. And the rest of that verse says, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And so what Jesus was saying to Satan is this: my Father loves me, and I believe that my Father will take care of my physical needs. And can I just remind you this morning that God the Father loves you, and God the Father will take care of your physical needs. Satan comes along and says, you've got physical needs. Meet them this way. Meet them the way that I suggest. We all have physical needs. We all have physical desires. And the devil wants us to fulfill them in the wrong way. We have a physical need to eat. Satan comes along and says, overeat. Or he comes along and says, eat or drink the wrong things. Put into your body the wrong things that will destroy your body. Listen, we have desires. There are sexual desires. Satan comes along and says, those things are natural, but you just need to go ahead and just do whatever you want to do. Satisfy that sexual desire the way that I want you to do it, not the way God's Word says for you to do it. See, we need to understand that there are physical needs, and God's Word has given us directives on how to meet those physical needs. And when Satan comes along and tempts us in that area, we need to go back to God's Word and understand what God's Word says about those physical needs. The second temptation, Satan comes along and he says, you can have the crown without the cross. Take a shortcut. Take a shortcut. The devil comes along in verse 5 and says, the Bible says, he showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Now, I don't know exactly how that happened. You know, I can kind of picture in my mind, I can kind of picture, you know, kind of like an IMAX movie showing all the glory of Rome and China and Egypt. And he's looking at all of these things. And he says to him, as he shows him all the kingdoms of the world, he says, I will give all this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I will give to whom I will. If you then will worship me, it will be all yours. What was Satan doing? He was saying, look, Jesus, you see all of these wonderful things. You see all of the kingdoms and all of the lands. He says, you can have it all right now. You can have it all right now. Listen, basically what Satan was saying, you can bypass the cross. You can bypass the pain. You can bypass the torture. You can bypass all of those things, and you can have it now. Satan was saying, Jesus, you can have the crown without the cross. And I believe that there are a lot of people today who have fallen into that temptation. There are a lot of people today who have fallen into that temptation. Satan comes to us and he says, listen. He whispers to us. He says, forget about others. Look out for yourself. He says, look out for number one. You deserve the best. You deserve it right now. I can help you get it today without any pain or without any discomfort. You can have it right now. You can bypass the cross and you can go directly to what you want and what you desire. Let me remind you of a verse, the scripture. Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. You see, there are no shortcuts. The Bible is very clear that if we are going to live our lives for Jesus Christ, if we're going to live totally sold out for Jesus Christ, that there are no shortcuts, that there are going to be difficult situations, there are going to be difficult trials. Listen, we need to get over this idea that living the Christian life is just a comfortable glide, that we're just going to glide into heaven. Listen, if we're going to do anything that's going to make a significant difference for the kingdom of God, it may cost us something. It may cost us our lives. It may cost us our comfort. It may cost us stretching outside of our comfort zones. Listen, Jesus, at that moment, Jesus could have given up. At that moment, he could have bypassed the rejection. He could have bypassed the torture. He could have bypassed the scourgings. He could have bypassed all of those things. But he did not. He answers again in verse number 8, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. He quotes again another passage of Scripture. And he reminds us today that we have one purpose, we have one desire, we have one goal in our life, and that is to worship God and to serve him. Which, by the way, did you notice that Satan said nothing about serving him? Notice that. He says in chapter 4, verse 7, he says, if you then will worship me, it will be all yours. And Jesus says, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. You see, you don't truly worship God unless you serve him. You serve him with your life. You serve him with your lifestyle. You serve him every single day of the week. Is Satan tempting you this morning to take a shortcut? Is he tempting you this morning to take a shortcut to say, you know what, I don't need this church. I don't need the things that are being offered to me. I can take a shortcut. I can have everything right now without going through the cross. If he's tempting you in that way, I want to encourage you today to run to the cross. To run to the cross. To run to Jesus. You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. There's so many people today, and they want it both ways. You know, they want to live. We talked this morning in our class about compartmentalizing in their lives. They want to live, you know, in the world, and they want to live with Jesus. They want it both ways. Jesus says to Satan, and he says to us, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. The third temptation that Satan sometimes throws our way, or strategy, is he says, go ahead and test God. Go ahead and test God. He took him to Jerusalem, the Bible says, and set him on the pinnacle of the temple. And he said, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, listen, Satan is very cunning. I mean, he knows. He has heard Jesus quote Scripture. And so what does he do? He starts to quote Scripture. He says in verse number 10, "For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." Satan adapts to the strategy of Jesus. Since Jesus quoted Scripture, Satan does the same thing. He quotes for him Psalm 91. But when you compare these words to the actual words of the psalmist, you see Satan has made two mistakes. Number one, he has misquoted the Scripture, and he has taken it out of its proper context. Satan says, in essence, "Listen, Jesus, I've got a plan that will win you to the hearts of the Jewish people. They will be overwhelmed by your ability to jump from this high pinnacle and land unharmed. Others who have jumped from this height have been killed instantly. If you will do this, if you'll show your power, the people will embrace you as their Messiah immediately." He says, just place your faith in God for His protection. And by the way, since you're using Scripture, I'll use Scripture too. And so Jesus has a decision to make, doesn't he? Am I going to test God at this moment? Am I going to test God at this moment? He could have jumped down. He could have landed on his legs. It would have been easy for him to do. He's omnipotent. He's all powerful. He could have done any of those things. But he does not. Again, Jesus resisted the temptation by quoting Scripture. The passage that he deals with, the passage that he quotes is, again, from the book of Deuteronomy. It's Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 16, when he says, "You shall not put the Lord your God to the test." This third temptation is a spiritual one. How often do we put God to the test? We say, "I'm going to jump, Lord. You promised in your word to catch me, so here goes." How often do we put God to the test? There are many subtle ways, I think, that we can put God to the test. There are many subtle ways that we can put God to the test. We may not jump from the top of a church building, but we do put God to the test. We do it when we do not worship the Lord. We do not make worshiping God a priority in our lives, and then we expect God to keep our children on the right path. That's putting God to the test. We do it whenever we dive into a path of our own choosing, our own desires, our own plans, and then when something goes wrong, we say, "Well, God, why didn't you fix that situation?" We've put God to the test because we didn't seek God first before we made the decision. We made the decision on our own, and then we came along and said, "God, why didn't you help me in that area?" We do it when we test the boundaries of known sin. How many of us have known that there is a line? God has placed a line, and what we do is we walk up to that line. We see, just how close can I get to that line? And then when we go over the line and things start falling apart, we start saying, "Well, God, why didn't you help me?" Putting God to the test. Jesus says, "You shall not put the Lord, your God, to the test." And so Jesus basically wins that battle, okay? The three strategies. There are many other strategies that Satan throws at us, but he won that strategy. But look at verse 13. Underline this verse. "And when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him forever." No, he didn't. He departed from him until an opportune time. Until an opportune time. Now, let me give you a few observations before we close this morning. I believe that these observations will help you as you leave, as you go about your walk with Jesus, as you continue your journey. Number one, it is not a sin to be tempted. It's not a sin to be tempted. Sometimes Christians feel dirty because they even have thoughts about the possibility of sin. They feel guilty because they think that if I was really right with God, then I wouldn't even have these sinful thoughts. You see, a sinful thought can develop into a desire that eventually becomes a fantasy, that eventually becomes a sin. But I want you to understand that Jesus said that it is possible for a man to look at a woman with lust and commit adultery in his heart. But the very first enticement, the very first attraction to sin is temptation. And temptation is not a sin. Temptation is like the bait that the fisherman uses. Y'all know what fishermen use, right? They use artificial bait. In fact, I brought my tackle box with me this morning, just so you can make sure you understand. It's a little dirty, but it's supposed to be dirty, right? Let's see. Now, this is for the big guy out there. All right? This is just bait. All right? The fish has not been caught. The fish has not been caught. It's not come into the boat. It's not come onto the shore until the fish sees this bait and he is enticed to the point of grabbing onto it. And the moment that he grabs onto it is the moment that he is caught. And a lot of times Satan will throw a line out. He'll tempt us. But if we resist that temptation, we have not sinned. But the moment that we embrace it, the moment that we are attached to it, that is when sin enters into our lives. So we need to keep that in mind this morning as we think about temptation, as we think about this idea. Hebrews 4, verse 15 says it this way. He says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin." And so Jesus had been tempted in every way, just as we are, but he has never sinned. The same power that he utilized to overcome temptation is available to you and to me this morning. Second observation, the best weapon, listen to this, the best weapon against temptation is the Word of God. It is. Just hold your Bible in your hands right now. Hold it up. You can hold it up for just a moment. If you have a Bible in your hand, you have the best possible weapon this morning against temptation. Jesus uses this weapon. He uses this weapon three different times in this passage of Scripture. He uses it to show us that we have the same resource that Jesus had. Psalm 119 says, "I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." Have you hidden God's word in your heart? Just think, if Jesus defeated Satan, with the book of Deuteronomy, I mean, up until this point, the books of Ephesians and Philippians and Colossians and Galatians and Romans and all the other New Testament books, they haven't been written yet. We have the privilege of having all of those books of the Bible to bring to our remembrance to defeat Satan. So this morning, this is another whole subject I could talk about. What are you doing to hide God's word in your heart? Imagine this morning if I got up after the service and I said, "You know what? I'm going to give a dollar for every scripture that you can come up here and recite. All right, we'll give you John 3:16 just to let you have that one. For the rest of you, would you have enough money to buy lunch this afternoon?" Think about it. If the best weapon that we have to fight God, if the best weapon that we have to overcome temptation is the Word of God, hiding God's Word in our hearts, are we doing it? I think it's an important question to ponder this morning. Maybe it's something we need to apply to our lives today. as we leave this place, that we will say, we'll make a commitment, not to me, but we'll make a commitment to God, to say, God, I know that memorizing your word is important. I know that it's the best way that I can do overcome temptation. I'm going to begin today to memorizing the word of God, hiding it in my heart. Number three, the best strategy. If the best weapon is temptation, to overcome temptation is the word of God, the best strategy to avoid tempting situations is to spend time with godly people. Tempting situations. You see, this is a matter of desire and direction. Desire and direction. You can accomplish this by making sure that you don't find yourself in tempting situations where it will be easier to compromise your Christian convictions. It's a matter of desire and direction. If you're a man who is struggling with the temptation of internet pornography, then don't go to those websites. Put a filter on your computer that can't be bypassed. If you have a weakness for alcohol, don't go to places where it will be served. I mean, this is just common sense, right? If you're a teenager struggling with the temptation of drinking or drugs, just don't go to those parties where those kids are hanging out. If you find yourself at one of those places, then run away as fast as you can. Timothy says, flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. You see, it's direction. You flee the evil desires of the youth and you pursue righteousness. Don't put yourselves in those situations. Number four, you are never immune to temptation. You are never immune to temptation. I think that last verse is so important. That last verse is so important because Satan doesn't leave Jesus for good, no. He says he's going to continue to come at him for an opportune time. You see, Satan and his demons never give up on you. He never gives up on me. If you ever think that you've gotten to the point where you have overcome temptation, you are wrong. Temptations may change as we get older. You know, they may change as we get older. We may, the sins of the flesh as youngsters may be different than the sins of the flesh of the as we get older, Satan may change the bait a little bit. You know, he may start making us be tempted about fear or be tempted about worry or be tempted about anger. But as long as you are breathing, you are vulnerable to temptation. And by the way, Satan has got He's got a lot of these. And he knows exactly which bait works for you and for me. You'll never get over it. That's why we need to stand guard. That's why we need to continue to memorize God's word, hide it in our hearts so that we can overcome the temptations. Last of all, the closer you are to God, the easier it is to resist temptation. Amen? The closer you are to God, the easier it is to resist temptation. I want you to write this verse down. Write down James 4, verse 7. James 4, verse 7. The Bible says, submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee for you. If you want the second part of that verse to be true, that means if you want the devil to flee from you, then the first part must be true as well. The first part is submit to God. Draw close to God. Listen, the closer we are to God, as we draw closer to God day by day and moment by moment, the easier it will be to overcome the temptations that Satan throws our way. Listen, I've found in my life that whenever I begin to skip time with God, whenever I begin to skip my devotional time with God, I find that those are the times that I am most susceptible to giving in to temptation. I mean, let's just be honest this morning. Whenever I know that whenever I'm the weakest, whenever I know that I haven't spent time with God, Satan knows it too. And that's when we need to be on alert. That's when we need to be aware. But listen, on the other hand, the closer I am to God, the more time, the more intense time that I spend with Jesus, and the closer I get to Him, it seems like overcoming those temptations are so much easier. So basically, we have a choice to make this morning. Every one of us has a choice to make today. We have a choice on how we are going to overcome temptation. And the bottom line is, I want you this morning to draw close to Jesus. I want you to draw close to God. Listen, we cannot do it alone. We can't do it alone. We can't overcome temptation on our own. We need the Lord Jesus Christ. We need the cross of Jesus. We need to put our trust in Him. So this morning, I want to challenge you. Whether it's physical desires, whether it's taking a shortcut, whether it's putting God to the test or something else that we haven't even mentioned, you know what that bait is. You know what that enticement is. I want to challenge you this morning to call out to Jesus. To call out to Jesus and say, Jesus, I need you to help me overcome this temptation. Memorize Scripture. Draw close to God and resist the devil. Would you pray with me? Father God in heaven, we thank you so much for your word. Father, we thank you for communicating to us this morning your word clearly. Father, I pray right now that you would help us in this room to be honest. God, help us to be honest about the temptations that we face. Lord, I believe everybody here knows what that bait is in their life. And if we're honest, God, we'll admit that there's some times that we took the bait. But God, we're thankful for the cross of Jesus, for the forgiveness and the hope that we have in Him. But Father, we know that tomorrow, maybe even this afternoon, that temptation may come back. And Lord, we want to be ready. Father, I pray that you'd help every person in this room that is a believer in Jesus Christ. God, help us today to put on the full armor, to be able to stand and withstand the temptations that come our way. Stand with the sword of the Spirit and the Word of God to overcome. Father, I pray for those who may be here today who have never trusted in Jesus and they're trying to do it all by themselves. Lord, I pray that today they'd realize they cannot win the battle alone. That today they would turn their hearts and their lives over to the Lord Jesus Christ, following Him, following His example. Father, I pray that you'd speak to us right now. As we respond to you and to your word, in Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand with me this morning? If God has spoken to your heart today, and you know that you've been fighting this battle alone, but you know today that you can't do it alone anymore, you need Jesus. I want to invite you to come and trust Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord. I'm going to stand down front to receive you as you respond to that message. If you're here today and you know Jesus as your Savior and your Lord, but you just want to pray that God will help you overcome those temptations, maybe you can do that right where you're at, or maybe you don't want to come bypass me and kneel at this altar and say, God, I need your help. Don't worry about what others are going to think about you. It doesn't matter. What matters is what Jesus thinks. And so seek Him, draw near to Him, respond to Him this morning as we sing.